Welcome to Under All Is the Land, one of the most popular podcast names in real estate, apparently, as the notorious ROB tried to create a new podcast with our name. Don't worry, I'm on it. We're trademarked. It's all good. Yeah. Welcome back. I'm Courtney Polis, your hostess with the mostest, with my beautiful co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hello.
Hey, ladies.
I love how you kicked that one off.
Yeah, because no mama ain't having it. I am not having any of that. No, it's so rude. It's like, you know, I just got to start by saying, we do have some professional courtesies that we have to extend to each other, right? And anybody who's created a podcast knows the first thing that you do is you Google Under All Is the Land podcast. Right. And when you do that, you see 61 videos on the Acme channel.
Right,
yeah. We have Under All Is the Land podcast.com. Okay, it is on there. So you can't even give me the, oh, well, sorry, I never saw it. Really? You never saw it? Because you never Googled it? Because you didn't think anybody else would come up with it? Please. I feel wronged. Mm-hmm. I feel wronged. Just putting it out there.
Yep.
I will not be disrespected. And you know what? There's so much going on. And we're going to talk about some of that. And a lot of these conversations are being led by men. Like if you watch any of the podcasts, who they invite as guests, like any of the industry insider stuff, like it's all men talking about what's happening. I think we need more female voices in the mix, honestly. So I'm excited to talk with you guys about some news that just dropped today.
Let's
talk about it. So Inman just dropped a news headline today that NAR has announced they are no longer requiring, from the NAR point of view, membership in NAR for local MLS access.
Really?
Yes. So I'm like, is this the beginning of the disassembly of things?
Well, that's amazing, because when I got that doozy email, I was like, I don't want to pay this.
You got the doozy email already? Yes. I must have deleted it.
Everybody.
I would just pay for my
selective email reception.
I would just pay for my forms and call it a day.
You would.
I'd love that.
So there are polls online. People are saying, like, if you didn't need NAR membership for MLS access, would you leave NAR?
Yes. 100%. 100%.
They know that. So I called Claw MLS just to see, you know, what I did. I called the MLS and I asked them, hey, do you need to have NAR membership in order to join? They said no. They said for the past few months they haven't required it. I'm like, interesting. I know. Yeah. So then I said, how are we going to get the forms? Because the forms are through CAR. Uh-huh. I mean, this opens up a beautiful scenario, right? Where we go back to just being licensees and members of the MLS for access, but not necessarily NAR members if we don't want to be. So I haven't gotten a response back whether or not we would get access to the forms. Mm-hmm. It's state by state where the forms live. So sometimes they live with the state. Like in Florida, there's a bar association. Like it's called FUBAR. Wait, that's fucked up beyond all recognition.
Hey, sorry, but that's wild. Don't believe it. This is great.
No, very animated, very passionate. Says so on my profile. Just kidding. So in different states, the forms are managed or distributed or created or modified by different entities. And in California, it's the California Association of Realtors that controls the zip forms. Mm-hmm. The point is, in some states, it's written by lawyers and distributed to everyone who is a licensee. It's controlled by the Department of Real Estate. In California, and I'm sure other states, the forms are really created by California Association of Realtors.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not a member of NAR, you're not a member of CAR, you're not a member of GLAR. That's the three-tier system that is in place
right now. Separate.
Yeah, maybe they can do like
NAR.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Or maybe they could do like a subscription-based service to Zip Forms for access to the forms.
That would be awesome.
That's much less than the CAR dues.
This is interesting because NAR has never conceded really lately on anything. They're not conceding on clear cooperation. They're just not. And
they're doubling down.
They're doubling down. And the talk online is like, you know, is almost from the people who are more on the Compass side of things, as far as I can see. It's almost like it can't do anything to satisfy people who have already decided they do not find value in an AR membership. So even with this untangling, there are people who are like, still don't find, it still doesn't make me, you know, trust the system anymore the way that it is. It's not like enough. It doesn't prove value is what I'm saying. It's not like NAR is saying, okay, we can now that we're making it more optional, here's all the value that you get and all the reasons why you should stay. They're not making a case for why you should stay. They're almost giving people an option to get out the door, if that makes sense.
Right.
Well, let's just see, because obviously the forum thing will be the deciding factor, because if CAR can't give us the forums, if we're not part of NAR, because NAR is pressuring CAR, then we're going to be paying for it because we need the forms.
Right. Well, here's another thing.
And then some creative third party can be like, hey, here are all the forms. I'll sell them to you.
Right. What if the broker is the creative third party?
Exactly.
What awesome. If I'm the creative third party, but all the agents don't
and
have to be
members? And you pay for updates as they come in, for example? That would be great.
I mean, why does every single person need to pay?
Because that would be the thing. Like, for any forms updates, you also have to...
You just pay for it as a brokerage, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here's my update for every agent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the distributor of information anyway.
Right.
Why should it be any different?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then what happens with Zip Forms? It's like Zip Forms right now is tied to CAR.
Right. They would be their own thing. I mean,
They'd have to be their own thing. And in other places, when I've sold real estate in other places, they were their own thing, actually. You would like sign in through Zip Logics or whatever Zip Forms. Interesting.
Cool.
So that happened.
News.
Yeah. And then I'm sure you guys saw, because I've also been talking about it, the Zillow thing, the Zillow lawsuit. Mm-hmm. There are so many Zillow lawsuits, but now the one about the lenders, the class action lawsuit saying that Zillow was essentially steering business over to their lender, their home. Would you expect
their
anything
homies?
Different?
Their
Just
homies.
Like Refkin publicly stated, I'm not going to make you guys abide by clear cooperation policy, right? I'm just publicly stating that. NAR says nothing. Zillow's like, listen, we've got home loans. We're the ones in control of everything that happens in this ecosystem we're creating. So if we say we want to incentivize the Zillow Flex agents to use our home loans, what should stop them from doing it? And I guess the thing that should stop them is called RESPA. RESPA. It's like, you can do it, but you have to disclose it. And I think the gal who's suing said they did not disclose that.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
But also, how much consumer responsibility is there? Like, for example, let's pretend I have an IQ of over 115 and I call a Zillow Flex agent through Zillow. And the Zillow Flex agent's like, why not use Zillow home loans?
You'd be like, because I want to use my person.
Would I think they weren't potentially canoodling?
Right.
Right, but I guess it's like the kickbacks, right? Like, that's what are you getting from it? That's what they should be disclosing to the consumer, you know, more transparently. So, I think it's problematic. And I was like reading the comments section under a post about this, and so many people who had partnered with Zillow Flex were like, "Yep, they forced me. You know, like you got penalized if you didn't refer people to this lender."
Everybody's like, saying it.
That's crazy.
Everybody's saying it. We are in an era of transparency where we can talk about this if we want to, but I'm finding that it's happening in our industry as well. But when you see like online YouTube content creators doing more investigation and like deeper dives into things than our own FBI and CIA, you go, wait a second, transparency is suddenly catching up. Like Zillow did it, right? Zillow's doing it, I would think. Well, I mean, allegedly, supposedly.
More likely.
Very likely, according to all the testimonials in the comment section.
Allegedly.
But then what happens? Okay, because the lender, they would do it so the lender can give them a kickback, correct?
The kickback was that you get higher quality leads. Like
right,
they were
but
saying
why,
like you're not going to get good
why
leads.
Why does Zillow want this particular lender to get? That's the question. Because
Zillow Home Loans.
It's their own company.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, but the agent doesn't get a financial kickback, is my understanding.
No, I know you can't.
They've been, the dangling carrot is you're in this flex program for leads.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like, how far, how far is our industry going to let Zillow go?
Control the
narrative. This before it becomes a consumer issue. Where we're, but it's the same. It's funny. It's the same thing for Compass, and they're embroiled in so many lawsuits. But it's the same thing. It's like, how far are we going to let Compass go with private listings, with just giving the middle finger to NAR, with, you know, with all of it, before people go, maybe this isn't in the best interest of the seller? You know, I had a compliance person, Summer Gorlick, on the Clean Clothes, and she said, it's not about private listings. It's about, what are you saying in that initial meeting with the seller? Are you saying, this is a marketing program, you should do this? Or is the person coming to you and saying, I want to do this this way for this reason?
Because I think most people don't want to do this.
I would think most people don't want to do this.
It's a very small percentage who even thinks that it's a good idea.
I think in both of these scenarios, the consumer's best interest is lost in the shuffle. Yeah.
Because it's not represented properly. They just say, this is a better plan, let's do it this way.
When you think about how vulnerable clients are, like even our clients, you know, when we go to listing presentations, people don't do these transactions very frequently. They're not like just so educated about how the process works. They trust that you're going to tell them an honest truth, that you're going to abide by your fiduciary, that you're going to give them accurate guidance as to the price, set expectations, perform on your promises, all that stuff. There's a lot of trust in it. And, you know, having sold some houses myself, there's a vulnerability in it that you you forget. Like, literally, these people are entrusting their multi-million dollar home to an agent who they have, you know, that has somehow sold them on an idea that's the right agent. But it's like opening your drawers. It's like, here's the whole house, like everything in the cabinets, everything in the, you know, my future, you know. It's like so much goes into putting their home selling process in the hands of someone. To violate that trust is like diabolical, you know. It's dark. True.
And I think it would be harder to trust as a consumer if like the whole ecosystem of your transaction is in-house. The lender, the escrow company, the listing agent, you know, everyone. Because if that deal falls through, that's so much money lost for that company.
Right.
And its affiliates, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's...
Well, who are they answering to? Shareholders on both sides.
Right.
And companies that only answer to shareholders, who have to constantly, you know, make new plays in order to feed this bottomless pit of greed, they don't always make decisions that are in the best interest of the people, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody who I'm not going to say, because Neek loves it when I say it, suggested that it's kind of like during COVID, what you realize is that people were willing to pay more for convenience, you know, like DoorDash proved that, you know. You're like, oh, shoot, I forgot the milk. I'm willing to pay $10 to not have to leave my house and have somebody bring this milk to my door, you know. And in the same way, the market test right now is, will the convenience of having everything on one platform, can Zillow sell the convenience of one ecosystem? As a, you know, is it worth it for the consumer experience? Are they going to be like, this is great, it simplifies things, I don't have to deal with all these different emails and phone calls, it's all on one platform, it's all goes like this, I can track it all along the way, like a Domino's pizza delivery, you know?
Yeah, you know, okay, this is unrelated, but I think it ties into that probably not being the best route for the consumer. I was like deep diving on some appliances on Reddit, okay?
You're still picking appliances for this.
I'm deep diving on conspiracy theories. She's deep diving on appliances.
Did that happen in 2 weeks ago Monday?
I have sizes.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay, listen. No, there's a point to this. Okay. I was deep diving on Reddit, okay, about appliances and people's experiences with them, because you can't trust reviews anymore, you know, at all.
Like, at all.
At all. As much as you used to be able to deep dive and get some pretty reliable stuff, I feel like Reddit has
been
real user experiences.
I think Reddit's been infiltrated as well.
It has as well, but you can kind of feel out the ones that feel like it's probably a bot, you know, or something like that. But there was a comment on there that was really interesting about how you know, like, rarely do you find a particular manufacturer having an all-around good suite. Like, you know, like, their refrigerator's good, their oven is good, their, you know, all of them are quality. Usually it's, like, one thing mm-hmm. that's good. Really? And, like, you know, it's because normally, like, they specialize in a thing, but then they start to bring in other things because they know that they can sell to the consumer, right? Yeah. But usually, like, Bertazzoni, for example. Like, right. Bertazzoni, their ovens are really well-regarded, but their refrigerators are shit,
ooh.
You know?
Or don't tell anybody that.
You know? But it's like, you know, but it was interesting. I was like, wow, that's actually really interesting. Because when you think about that, that applies to so many things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to a food court where they have, like, you know, five different kinds of food in one place, you know none of it's going to be good because they don't specialize in anything.
Right.
They're just kind of doing everything to cater to everyone. Yeah. You know? So it's like, you know, with Zillow, it's like, you know, if you're focusing in one sector, you know, you're it's great as a
as a
search platform. Search platform, yes.
You did awesome. Totally
you
get done it. Good.
And that
you
is
know?
The thing you do, but we don't want your lenders, we don't want your escrows.
Right,
your,
exactly. Da, 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 da. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to see a burger on a sushi menu.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
We also yeah. have beef burgers.
I don't know about that. I think there's no way they can do it all well, but, you know, the law has always been in the favor of consumer choice. In all of these recent lawsuits, that's the thing that's on the table, you know? But there's one piece that I just want to say, in case there's anyone watching this right now who's not a agent, but is in fact a buyer or seller, you got to read the contracts, you know? There's some responsibility here too. Like, I call bullshit on Sitzer Burnett a million times over because yeah. our commissions have always been negotiable. Everything was in that contract. Those contracts are written by attorneys, and that was just an effective manipulation of the legal system. We always had exclusive agency agreements. They just weren't mandatory, whatever. But the point is, those contracts were clear. And I feel like it really is a disservice to our faith in contracts, which is what it is that we base our entire business on, to have such a contract be completely, you know, to upend our industry over mm-hmm. over something that was clearly in the writing just because somebody's like, but I didn't know what I was signing, or I didn't understand.
It was a huge money grab.
Yeah, it was a huge money grab.
All these sellers who jumped on board were like, they also turned around and bought houses and took advantage of that commission structure.
Right. But I'm saying the contract matters. We think, we say, we feel. But if consumers can just get out of jail free by accepting the contract, signing it, moving forward, whatever, and then after the transaction closes, going back and suing Zillow in a class action lawsuit or whatever, it just feels like a manipulation of the system. So I would just say,
it is, for
you
sure.
know, we consumers need to read their contracts too. And if you don't know how to read a contract, hire an attorney to review mm-hmm. the contract with you. If some agents in some states really don't have to do much of that contract review, like, in the other states, it's attorneys who can answer those questions for you because they're more involved in the process. But if you're in a state like California where we really don't have attorneys involved and you feel like you need an outside person to review the contract with you, then hire an outside person to review the contract with you. But do not sign a contract and then pretend you didn't know what was in it because you actually just didn't read it.
Well, mm-hmm. we are in the era of people just clicking and signing. Mm-hmm. You know, who reads the terms? You know, it's like, that's the thing. And you'd think they would yeah. in a transaction like a purchase, but I think people are just so used to, you know.
Yeah, science. Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's why we not obviously make sure that our
anymore,
agents,
you know, yeah,
explain the contract before totally. You send well, the DocuSign.
I mean, totally. In all fairness, I think these contracts have been worked over for decades with attorneys, so they're pretty ironclad,
you
right?
You think,
so,
but not.
So, sure, but in, like, yeah. essentially, I would say 90% of transaction, it's like, everybody signs that same document, but there are intricacies and terms that can be changed, and that's the thing you need to read.
Yeah, but you know, until the legal system is overhauled completely to, like, disallow people from just, like, filing lawsuits that shouldn't have even been allowed right. in the mm-hmm. first place mm-hmm. because they signed a contract right. that already stipulates exactly what the terms are
that
and
part.
They agreed to them
yep.
like this is going to continue right, to be but, a problem because but, people can band together and say, oh, well, I'm mad at this thing, even though I willingly signed off on this, but because it's too expensive to fight, it's settled. You know, that's the problem.
That is a problem.
And until that stops, we're going to keep seeing bullshit.
Yeah. And but just remember, overall, it's not all these people calling in going, this is happening to me. It's attorneys sending you postcards saying, I see you were involved in this. Yeah. And somebody's like, free money? You. Great. Like, sign me up.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's have you thought of this? No, but now I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, the legal system in general. That's what's messed up in this country, that you're even allowed to sue over things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I went through a very extensive one that was completely flawed, completely wrong, took multiple years.
Yeah.
And at the end, the judge was like, you have, this should have been thrown out. It's like, $50,000 later.
Yeah.
Right. Of course it should have.
Yeah. But it also should have never started to be a lawsuit in the first place.
Exactly.
And that's where I think this entire system needs to be overhauled in general. But that's a whole different conversation. It's like, talk about healthcare. It's the same thing. All of those systems that we have are behemoths that need to be changed, in my opinion.
Especially now in the era of like social media and people being able to see how easily it is to win a lawsuit over something frivolous. Like, now more than ever, the system needs to be changed so people can't abuse that, you know? Because it's one person sees that someone can sue someone for $25 million for a rape that has no evidence 30 years ago and win because that person doesn't want to fight that lawsuit, and now the floodgates open.
Dude,
you know,
not
to use that as an example, because there are obviously real cases. Yeah, but you know,
but I get the point.
Yeah.
The point. I mean, the point is, it's frivolous lawsuits is what the
frivolous
point is.
Frivolous lawsuits
that are successful and make people very wealthy.
Yes,
and that's that's when crazy starts.
Yes, and there was one podcast I was listening to today that actually showed. I didn't see it because I was listening to it, but they showed AI so convincing. Apparently, AI. That was showing like babies being separated, like ICE protests, but it was like babies being separated from the parents. And it was so realistic that you could see how if you watch this, you would be like, this is absolutely horrible.
Wait, but it was footage, all AI. Made up footage?
Made up footage. That's just one example. Wow. There could be those examples in everything.
Yeah.
You know, in everything. So including real estate transactions, including whatever. Like, you know, remember we were training that one time and one of our trainees did the open house exercise and actually videotaped it.
Right.
And videotaped her being completely ignored by the agent. And potentially for racial reasons, we don't know. That's kind of how it felt for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And it's like we are in an era where things that you say can be manipulated, and sometimes you're not even necessarily doing anything. It could be manipulated, and if it's convincing enough, I mean, I'm sure there's metadata or something somebody could, but this is going to come up. Like, I'm sure there are going to be fake cases, lawsuits that are made based on fake video, fake, like, everything.
Right.
It's but a really crazy moment we're moving into. Yeah.
But those you would hope they get thrown out before they even go into anything. When they start collecting their
data. You would hope that there's something on the end.
Collect evidence and be like,
they could
even real
put time. This in.
Yeah.
But based on the fact that they, in that court case I was just telling you about, nobody in the entire process until it went to trial, nobody in the entire process, no judge in the entire process read it and was like, oh, this doesn't even make sense. Let me throw this out. They waited until it got that far, 4 years down, 50,000 in or more, and standing in front of the court when the judge goes, this is actually meritless. You know, you're free to leave. It's like, of course it is. I know it is. You know? So that's so I'm like, we're relying on this archaic system to have the technology to be able to filter stuff out and say this is meritless now before people spend lots and lots of money. I just foresee something much bigger as a problem there. And with regard to our industry, you know, I also had this other thought. I was thinking about like Karen Bass declaring that homelessness is no longer a problem in Los Angeles, which I find
does she live here?
Absolutely crazy. And how do you just declare that? Do you have to just declare that?
Also, do you
see it?
Not
we don't need your money anymore. We've got enough. Bye.
Like, you just declare that like that? Like, literally, we have a camper parked in front. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's definitely
insane.
What world is she living in that she thinks she can just say that and it's going to be true? But it was kind of like they all do this. Politicians tell us these things like the cost of food's gone out. No, I think the cost of food has gone up. You know, I know. Because Trader Joe's used to be really cheap.
I know.
It's not anymore.
No, it's not.
That's a problem. A lot of people do just listen to words. They just listen to the words people say, and they do not deep dive on whether they're true or not. You know? And
it's like magic. They're like, I'm willing you to believe that homelessness is no longer a problem in Los Angeles. No. If you're driving, like I drove through Westlake Village the other day. Have you driven through Westlake Village? Not Westlake Village. No. I'm sorry, MacArthur Park. I always mix those up. MacArthur Park.
Yeah.
It was a scene from a horror film. Mm-hmm. The park is covered in people actively open air drug using, but now they've got these chain link fences on the sidewalks blocking people into the sidewalk. Okay, so now if you imagine you had to go for some reason to MacArthur Park, God forbid you had to go to a store to pick something up.
Anyone has to go to MacArthur Park
for any reason, you are going to be in a 4 foot wide chain link fenced in sidewalk with people who are picking scabs off their faces and their hair and doing drugs and it feels like hell.
Oh my gosh,
it feels crazy. Like hell.
Have you driven past Skid Row?
No.
10 times worse.
Oh.
Than MacArthur Park.
Oh my
10
God.
Times worse than MacArthur Park. They just found like all these like pity puppies,
no.
which were so sweet. Only because I think there was someone who OD'd in a tent and they were getting the body and then found these puppies that were being bred, you know, but it's like, yeah, these are things that so many people are telling you guys about that exist here with pictures, with video, on social media, everywhere. And it takes someone dying in a tent for you to come and actually like rescue some puppies. Did they even rescue mom and dad? I don't know. You know, it's disgusting.
You just
what's
follow
happening
the incentive.
There.
It's like if okay. So Elon Musk was giving an interview on a podcast. And he said something like, "When you want to know what people are going to do, just follow the incentive. Like, see where are they incentivized." Mm-hmm. So if the federal government gives out like Obama did a $10,000 first time homebuyer tax credit, all of a sudden people who were very scared to buy in 2008 and 9 because of the crisis are back in business in 2010, right? Or they're jumping back in, you know? If you want to see how animals in a zoo behave, okay? How do they if you feed them, if the tourists feed them, they will beg from the tourists. You know? It's like you can predict based on where is the incentive coming from? Where are you getting your money from? Where are you getting fed from? So if the problem of homelessness is a revenue generator, they are not going to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Why would they? And when you look at all the new cases of fraud that are being revealed, not that we didn't know, we knew, thank God they're revealing them, but it's like when you look at the cases of fraud, you're like, oh, okay. So we're never going to, this problem is never going to go away here until there's a disincentive, until there are, people are incentivized more to make the problem go away than they are to keep the problem alive. And that probably goes for a lot of different, like, parts of things, but it is pretty bad.
It's totally fucked up, though, that, like, the incentive has to be the money and can't just be solving a
social
an
problem.
Issue of humanity.
Yeah. That is why it doesn't matter who you vote for, you can predict the outcome. It doesn't matter. The choices aren't real.
So basically fucked.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. I hope not. But when you have somebody that is the mayor of the city declaring that it's no longer a problem, and then you're driving through the streets like we are every day, selling real estate, driving through neighborhoods and stuff, you see the problem.
Yeah.
You can't tell me I'm not, what I'm seeing isn't real.
You don't ever have to go to MacArthur Park or Skid Row to see the problem. There's nicer areas.
Yeah.
Areas where you're like, wait, here too?
I know, but I'm like, how can there not be a solution yet, y'all?
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe it's because they've built so much affordable housing or homeless housing, right? That now it's like...
empty.
That's empty,
city
right?
Empty.
They don't want to, but like they don't want to address the real issue, which is like
drug
mental illness, drug use, right? But it's convenient to say, oh yeah, it's solved. We've built enough units now. We've got enough homeless housing, I guess. You know.
Here's the thing. Like maybe statistically, maybe the housing and the amount of people that are supposedly homeless are
maybe that's what's settled.
Is what statistically like this seems to be in sync. But
I'm
I think
sorry,
people
no.
don't go to no. those houses though. right? It's not like they're all in houses.
I'm just
they're like
tired.
Still
I'm
in
tired,
a tent under the overpass.
Tired of being lied to.
You know what I mean?
Of being lied to. I'm tired of being told that what I'm seeing with my very own eyes is not real.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying this might be what the statistic. Why she would say that?
It could be. It could be.
But people still don't. They're not in the houses. They're in the tents under the overpass.
But if you actually look at the numbers, it's not what you're saying.
Or that. Which I don't know the numbers anyway, so I'm just making a
you can look it up.
Guess.
Right. Yeah.
You can look it up.
Yeah.
They did create some housing, not as much as they said they were going to, and for about double the cost of what it would be to actually build it if you and I hired a contractor to construct it, okay? So clearly somebody's getting paid. And they're breaking it down right now. Like, some people are being held to account, but I'm sure there's a lot more fraud going on than we even can conceive of.
For sure.
You know, at the state and the local level, I feel. But it was just that just to think that, like, that was actually declared, it just boggles the mind. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're moving into a very interesting moment where there's going to be, and this is what my original thought was, like, you know how there are some people who suggest that maybe, you know, like, I don't know if you saw this, but the trajectory of the Jamaica hurricane moved. Did you see that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jamaica's supposed to be a smart city. That was like, they agreed to become a smart city. If you've been to Jamaica, which you have.
That's very odd because it's
really
like the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not the complete opposite of that right now, right?
Right.
It's the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
I feel like it's called Smart City. So I don't know if it was Kingston or us city or if it was the whole entire island. Uh-huh. So anyway, the hurricane was going one way and then it turned and it went and went straight for Kingston, like went straight for Jamaica. What? And so conspiracy theorists are like, that's weird.
This
like
hurricane
it doesn't usually behave this way.
Right.
And what the pattern is that in all these places where they've declared that they're going to become like smart cities, like Pacific Palisades, like I think Maui, but I just need to make sure, but definitely Jamaica, suddenly things get like burnt down and have to be rebuilt. And there's a question I have, which is how is it that they're not, there's no forward progress on the permits even now this far into it? How is it the Pacific Palisades is still having such a hard time? Have you watched Spencer Pratt on Instagram?
Yeah, I've seen his page.
Yeah, what do you think about what he's saying?
I mean, I don't look into it regularly. I just know
what?
He lost his house and he's been really verbal about like
what happened and how it happened.
How messed up it was, going in on Newsom, going in on Bass.
Is he married to
Heidi Montag?
That's what I was thinking. The singer.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who that is. Yeah. I didn't follow him since the actual fires happened, but he's on a path.
Leading the charge of trying to figure out what really happened because, and again, I don't want to paraphrase incorrectly, which I feel like I'm probably doing a lot of. Don't worry, I'll post corrections in the show notes. Okay. It's a lot of information going on in my brain. But there were like calls to put the fire out that where the city was like, nah, we're not going to send anyone. Like, things like that.
Hmm.
So they
but
say.
In the Palisades?
Uh-huh.
That seems like a lot.
They were like understaffed or something.
I mean, I don't know. That
I
seems
like I don't know. I think you should look into it, but there's a new movie coming out at the beginning of December.
Oh, cool.
I posted on my Facebook. We'll put it in the show notes.
About?
That is just about how it all went down. Like, why the fire hydrants were empty. Why the reservoirs were empty. Mm-hmm. Why there were calls like, somebody starting a fire over here that went unreturned. Why there was no brush clearance done. Like, you know.
Who made the movie? Do you know?
I don't know.
And who was interviewed for it? I wonder.
It's the prophets going to rebuild the Palisades in Altadena, I hope.
Department.
I just am trying to find out.
I hope to have the fire department, like credible people that working that night. I hope it's like not one of those supposed to steer in a certain direction. I want
real
facts.
I hope so too.
I want
real facts
are
hard to find these
days.
Of course, everybody wants to know
what
happened.
But I hope it's not.
Don't you feel like these big things are happening and we get hit with it all at once? It's like major crisis. Yeah. And then we're like, it's like, move on. Like, don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like the investigation is supposed to like move on. Mm. And so I'm curious to know, but it's definitely something that there's like people are calling out as like a little pattern. And I'm like, this is so weird. I feel like we're in a simulation. Mm. Something's going on.
Definitely odd.
Yeah. I mean, so what's happening in the market? What's happening in the field?
We've just come across interesting people, like, you know, pretending to be plumbers, but they're not. And then they're sending us videos of saddle connections that aren't actually saddle connections. And it's just a little confusing lately.
You know what? That's a really good point. What if you like? What do you look for? Like, how do you know? What if you didn't know?
Well, that's why I have agents who know.
So even when sellers give you a report for your agents, not to turn it completely over, but the point is you can't trust anybody. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the agent sent us a video of a supposedly a sewer connection that was clear, and then we looked at it and we both said, this doesn't really look like a sewer, a city connection, doesn't really look like it. So we sent it to our plumber and they're like, he's like, that's not a city connection. We're like, oh, okay, cool. Can you actually send us the proper connection video? And then they came back with another one saying, this is it. And I'm like, this still doesn't look like it. And it still wasn't. So it's just a little confusing. I'm
it's
not
just yeah. maybe important they just don't know.
They just maybe yeah. not don't. That maybe just their plumber doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, that's my guess. Let's just keep it there.
Do you feel like it's gotten murkier, like since the market's changed? People are just trying to save money any way they can, and that's why.
I don't want to accuse anybody, but it does feel a little weird when somebody else who's also an agent has done this a million times tells you, "This is clear." I'm like, no, it's not. So anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting.
Curious. How about that?
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely feels like, you know, there's an imbalance in that, like, sellers and their agents are really trying to lobby for, you know, as much as they can because they're not getting their, you know, expectations met the same way that they were before, right? So you've got, like, I feel like on the listing side, it seems like people are a little bit more heightened. But then on the buy side, it's the same thing because buyers feel like they want everything, you know, that they can get because they're being told it's a buyer's market, you know. And that comes down to, like, you know, price, repairs, stuff like that, even things that aren't, like, typical for sellers to accommodate,
you
right?
You know what? I'm seeing a lot more focus on cosmetics and not on systems.
Well, I've had a lot of system issues lately on my buy side deals, and I've definitely noticed that the listing agents and they, you know, they're saying the things, and I can tell you're saying this because your seller told you to say that, but we clearly know this is an issue. Like a roof has a year left. I'm like, that's really like, are you the roof? If a roof has a year left, it's a replacement. Like, right. don't tell me my client can do it after she buys it.
Right? Exactly.
I don't think I want her to do this.
That's so true.
And the sewer line is cracked, but it's serviceable. I'm like, I don't know. It's cracked. There's a video. It's really bad, actually. Well, no, it still works. I'm like, well, no, not for us, though.
You know? So see, it's like
that kind of thing. It's just,
yeah.
A few years ago, when that house maybe would have had 15 offers and not just mine, there would have been, well, we got you. We're going to give you the credit for the roof and the sewer line. Now it's like, well, we only got this one offer. They're really not happy with what they got. And now they're not going to give you anything. I'm like, well, but now we don't want the house anymore. Bye. You know, this was one, obviously. She's happy. She found something else now. But, you know, it's just, there have been many of those things lately where the sellers are just really picking, like, well, what they're giving. It's hard. It's the decade of sewer line replacements. We're predicting that.
Oh, the next decade.
Because they're all failing now. They're all old enough to finally start failing. Because literally the last three houses, sewer line broken, but not nicely broken, like bad. Like full replacement or the lateral, like the whole thing.
Wow.
Not just a little, you know, thing.
Right.
So I think that's what's happening now because they're just getting to that age now.
You know, maybe also what's happening right now with buyers like wanting so much coverage for this is people are also feeling tighter, you know, like more money conscious, right? Yeah. Than like a few years ago whenever it felt like everyone was flush and everything was, the economy was amazing. So now it's like you hear you're going to have to replace the roof within 5 years. And even though it's like, oh, you know, 5 years, but it's still like, well, that's potentially $25,000 within the next 5 years.
Right.
That's
$35,000.
Something I've got to add on top of this, you know? Yeah. So, like, I guess it does make sense why, you know, people are wanting to push for that. In different circumstances, obviously, it makes more sense to push for it than others. Like, on something that's a fixer, you obviously.
Clearly, you know, of course. But, you know, if it's a although I'm seeing that, too.
Sure.
I mean,
it's an in-between that I feel like, you know, where it's, like, not a fixer. And not a flip, right? But it's like owner occupied or whatever. And there's some deferred maintenance where it's kind of like there's more of a disconnection, right? Like, you know, owners are like, well, I haven't had to replace it. I haven't had any issues. And the buyer's like, well, this is my issue now if I'm buying this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Kicking
yeah.
the can down the road.
Yeah.
Kicking but a lot of shitty flips, too, right now.
A lot of shitty flips.
A lot of systems not being updated. In that case, that's it's what like, I'm of course, we're asking for this roof to be replaced that should have been replaced and has 2 years left on it on a flip. Like,
yep.
I'm not paying top of market and then also replacing a roof in 2 years.
I think people, investors who aren't really, who don't thrive in markets like this, who don't know how to make the correct adjustments or like determine what is worth doing, like how to achieve a result that you could sell for a price that buyers are able to pay given the interest rates, and also make sure to address health and safety issues. Don't do it. Just don't, because it always feels like I'm being told a lie. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I'm like, these flippers are getting together and they feel like, oh, you know, it's not going to sell for what we projected it to sell for. And so that's why we had to make the choice to not replace the roof. We'll see what the buyers are willing to do. It's like, it never works. It never works for the seller either, I don't think. And it kills the deals. It can kill the deals. Other agents have just had similar things where the seller was unwilling to make any concession based on very legitimate repairs. And there was nothing behind the offer. There's no backup. There's no, oh, demand, like great demand. So ultimately, yeah. sellers are going to lose more money by being stubborn, mm-hmm. I think, you know, than they're going to save by not doing the repair. It's almost the holidays. What do you want for Christmas, Silka? Let me see what you want for Christmas. Do you want anything?
No, not really.
Peace and quiet.
Wow. You literally read my mind.
Wow.
That is so crazy. I was just thinking that.
Wow.
That is crazy. I swear that you just read my mind. That is so crazy.
She did that to me earlier with
weird.
The thing. Okay, I know what I want, okay? And you guys can share this gift, okay? Uh-huh. It's this, like, toddler car that has a built-in vacuum underneath it. So that when she's going around, it's also vacuuming.
That is a great idea.
Brilliant.
Is that real?
Brilliant and real. Well, I hope that we get to do another podcast before the turn of the new year. But I do want to think about how, you know, there's a lot of like new programs going on that they're proposing, 50-year mortgages, portable loans, which I don't think are going to work. But, you know, I would love to be able to go into the new year with some optimism, you know? I always feel that way. Like, something's got to give, no?
I mean, one would think.
One would think.
One would think.
Also, you know, this is a really great time to buy. Right now is the time I always buy. It's like the best deals happen right between Thanksgiving and New Year's. So, you know, I still feel like there are deals to be had. There's not a ton of great inventory, but even shitty flips can be an opportunity sometimes.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you get them at a good price.
Yeah. Cool. Right. I think that's a good way to wrap this wild, raucous edition of Under All Is the Land up. I'm your host, Courtney Polis. We hope we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Toodles. Bye. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate.